You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
In the studio this time, we've got Associate Professor Daniel Kingston from Otago Whakaihu Waka, the University of Otago, of course, coming on to have a chat about the winter El Nino, which might arrive in winter or spring, and how it affects Aotearoa. Good morning to you, Daniel. How are we?
Kia ora. Good, thanks.
It's great to have you in the studio. How are you coping with all the cold around the place?
Oh, yeah. Well, from a weather perspective, it's super interesting, kind of watching where we see frost, where the sun hits, how the weather varies around town. So any weather, I'm always pretty happy.
It's been quite bizarre, though. Like, the past maybe 3 or 4 days, two of them have been pretty warm. Is that spooky?
It's just kind of classic high pressure situation where you've got clear skies, it gets cold at night, and then nice and warm during the day.
Yeah,
enjoy it while it's here.
True. Because I oftentimes, when it's like, you know, a really cold day in summer or a really hot day in winter, I tend to catastrophize that. Oh, it's climate change. You know, is there an element of that at play?
No, not really.
Not really.
I think that's just the weather we get here.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty.
It's pretty,
pretty
weird here.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad to know.
Yeah.
I'm glad to know. But you are a climate scientist. How are you holding up? You're at the forefront of climate science. Are you doing okay?
Well, on a personal level, it's really interesting kind of science problem to look at, to understand how things are changing and how they might change. But thinking kind of more collectively, big picture, there is this kind of underlying sense of anxiety. Things are changing and not for the better for the most part. I mean, there are some great things that are happening around kind of reacting to climate change and trying to mitigate its impacts. But it's not a great news story overall.
Yeah, and it's also just infuriating that there's still the discourse about whether climate change is happening or not.
Or whether we need to do things about it, or the cost up front versus the huge cost that may come if we don't do more about it.
Yeah.
So it can be super frustrating. There are good news stories out there if you look for them.
But there are.
Not enough of them.
No, the thing that's sort of keeping me a bit happy is that China has just been printing solar panels like crazy. And the cost of solar panels have gone down heaps over the past decade or so.
Yeah, they have.
That's cool.
Like, the amount of renewable energy that China are installing in particular is just amazing.
Yeah.
Kind of the rate that they're managing to do it.
Yeah, it's super impressive. Before we get into talking about El Nino, I want to talk about another bit of research you did recently. You were one of many authors on a new paper examining the link between climate change, and strokes, which is pretty nuts. How are the two connected, and will we see more strokes as climate change sort of ramps up?
Yeah, well, extreme heat and extreme cold are both really bad for our vascular systems, and so they're bad for our brains. They put them under more pressure. So with climate change, I mean, that means fewer extreme cold events in many places, but it means more extreme warm events. And so this paper was just kind of trying to shine a light on that, do a review, really, to see how these extreme warm events and events associated with them, like when it gets more humid, when we get more air pollution from wildfires or dust storms, how they increase the risk of stroke happening.
That's pretty bizarre to think about, because it's not an immediate thought when you think of climate change.
No, maybe not. But but those extreme weather conditions, generally, people don't react well to. And so it's just kind of picking apart the details, picking apart, you know, everyday variation in how people, you know, respond to extreme weather. And that's what this study was part of.
Yeah, so, incredibly vital research. El Nino is a climate phenomena. It means the boy in Spanish. Can you tell me which boy in particular and why? And I think I actually emailed you the answer without realizing it.
Yeah.
Never think about it. Continue, sorry.
Yeah, so it's it kind of refers specifically to baby Jesus, the Christ
it does,
child.
Yeah.
Because it appears around Christmas time. That's typically when these events kind of initiate. And so And it was noticed initially along the coast of South America, the Pacific coast of South America, and that's what the locals kind of gave its name.
Yeah, according to Wikipedia, I think it was Peruvian fishermen.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So the story goes. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure you knew that before I emailed you that, but I should have taken out the answer. Goodness. Also, excuse my spelling mistakes and all the questions I sent. I tend to not overlook them if they're not,
it's still
if they're for private consumption.
All good, yeah.
I tend to, write questions in a rush. But El Nino is a bit of an explainer for people. It upsets the usual state of east to west winds over the Pacific Ocean, where warm water builds up in the Indo-Pacific and cold water piles up off the west coast of South America. This sees a buildup of warm, moist air in the west, while dry, cooler air descends in the east, which reinforces these winds. So, for the most part, the Pacific Ocean is in a sort of self-perpetuating state. That's the default, right?
Yeah, that's the
by and large of it.
Yeah, the basis of it. But it's actually a really complicated system. It's something that climate scientists are still working on to understand better now. Because after a while, that warm water gets piled up kind of on the western side of the Pacific. And eventually it's like, well, you just can't hold it there any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts to kind of slosh back across the Pacific towards the American side. And so that's the beginning of an El Nino event. And as that gradient in sea surface temperatures shifts kind of from west to east, it upsets the atmospheric circulation, the winds as well. So then the winds weaken and sometimes reverse too. That has huge impacts across the Pacific and beyond in terms of the weather patterns that that we normally see.
And the video explainer for El Nino that I watched yesterday, it did mention what you were mentioning, that the warm water in the west eventually breaks out and goes to the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Is that always the cause of an El Nino event, or are there other causes as well?
Yeah, it's basically that system, as I said, that people are still working to understand the finer details of, but we kind of have waves of warm water underneath the surface, and they begin first, slowly moving across, so we can't detect it at the surface. And then once that's kind of progressed far enough, then we start to see those warmer waters at the surface appearing too, and then that changing the wind, and we kind of get into a positive feedback situation, kind of self-perpetuating as we switch from normal situations into El Nino.
Mm. You've said that El Nino activity and its effects can be hard to predict this far out. Mm. According to a piece I read on The Conversation, it seems like El Nino might emerge in New Zealand in spring. Why is it so hard to figure out this far ahead?
Well, it's just that it's this far ahead, really.
Mm.
Usually these events initiate around Christmas time, and this far out, the models just can't resolve that signal well enough.
Right.
Usually kind of from late May into June, the models start to become a bit more coherent. What's unusual with this event, why it's made the headlines, is that already we're starting to see evidence of an El Nino event initiating right now. And models from climate centres across the world are all more or less unanimous in showing that this event is going to kind of continue and strengthen into the spring. So we might be looking at a stronger than normal El Nino event.
Mm. And is that sort of expected with climate change ramping up and the planet getting warmer?
No, the effects of climate change on El Nino are still a bit murky.
Mm.
So I wouldn't put this specific event down to climate change at all. This is just
how the climate system goes.
A
typical effect of El Nino in New Zealand is that the north and the east gets drier, and in the west and the south it gets much wetter. Southerly winds lead to colder winds as well. How else does El Nino impact us?
Well, each event is a little bit different. So we've got those kind of typical effects, like you say, but whether we see those strongly or whether they're kind of, we can only just detect them above background noise, it varies from event to event. So I'm not going to say anything for definite here.
Fair enough.
As you say, kind of wetter in the west and south. Colder, maybe not universally colder, but certainly a few more cold snaps with those southwesterly winds. It can mean, a bit more snow over the Southern Alps, and maybe that snow lasts longer.
Mm.
But the last El Nino event, that didn't quite work out. So you know, I kind of take those predictions with a pinch of salt, maybe. Beyond that, you know, if we've got dry conditions, then we start to see some pressure on agriculture, maybe on late levels for hydropower as well.
How does Dunedin fare during an El Nino? Is it usually pretty business as usual?
Yeah, well, slightly fewer northeasterlies, you know, so that kind of cold, you know, coldish kind of overcast day. We might see slightly fewer of those as we move, you know, through the year, but maybe not the strongest impact right here.
You mentioned there's an impact on agriculture. Do we typically see an increase in goods prices if it does affect, you know, the hydrological cycles and can lead to drought up in the farming areas?
Yeah, I mean, any extreme weather events are bad news for farming, right? Biggest example of that recently would be Cyclone Gabrielle, that kind of wiped out a whole load of farms and different types of produce, led to increased prices. So, you know, it depends exactly how the event plays out. But certainly if we see droughts developing as we have in the past, then that's clearly going to hit supply and in turn price.
And is there any like rough time span we can ascribe to an El Nino event?
You know, sometimes they just last for months. Sometimes they last well over a year. The stronger events tend to last longer. So I guess at this point, it's a bit of a wait and see. See how it develops over winter into spring, and then whether it really kicks on during summer or whether it starts to peter out.
You mentioned there are some other weather systems at play, and I want to mention those, and excuse me for being very verbose. There's two other climate cycles at play in the Pacific affecting our seasons. The interdecadal Pacific Oscillation, which lasts in the long term 20 to 30 odd years and can either slow or hasten warming in New Zealand. And there's also the southern annular mode around the country, which affects our winds, I believe. How do these systems interplay with each other?
Both can interact with the effects of an El Nino event. The southern annular mode affects the strength of the westerlies over the country. And so if you've got the southern annular mode in its phase where it's increasing the strength of westerlies and you've got El Nino increasing the strength of our southwesterlies too, then they kind of have a snowball effect.
A bit of a reinforcing effect.
Yep. Or the other way round, they can largely cancel each other out.
True.
The interdecadal Pacific Oscillation, as you said, is something that kind of cycles over kind of, you know, 20 or 30 year cycle. The impacts of that are largely similar to El Nino. It's the same sort of climate pattern, just varying much more slowly. At the moment, it's in the phase where it tends to suppress El Nino impacts on us. So that might just kind of pull back the impacts a little bit. But again, it's a little too early in the piece to say right now.
All the modelling around El Nino emerging in spring are all correct. It's going to be a pretty strong one. How would you advise the government prepare for it and respond to it?
to pay attention to climate scientists and what they're saying, you know, and then think of contingency plans around how we're going to keep the lights on if it starts to affect our hydropower lake levels. Give farmers warming. Farmers know how to respond to dry weather conditions, but they need support sometimes, and they need kind of help getting those kind of fallback plans in place. You know, maybe longer term, invest more in climate science. There have been a number of cuts to climate science over the past few years, decreasing our capability to understand these sort of events. So I'd say, you know, a bit more funding, a bit more attention to some of the core science components of New Zealand would really help.
So we're not flying blind.
Yeah.
Do we typically see like government responses to El Nino?
Once the effects have really hit.
Right.
So, you know, if we've got a major drought, then we start to see kind of relief funds being activated.
Some more adaptation than mitigation.
Yeah, that's right. You know, In the longer term, bigger picture, making us a more climate resilient society, which ties in with preparing for the impacts of climate change, would all go a huge way to helping.
Completely. You've requested some Iron Maiden here. When about did you discover Iron Maiden?
When I was probably kind of 15 or 16, a friend sort of lent me a tape that he'd recorded, and I was kind of hooked from there, really.
Nice. And they are coming to Auckland, and you mentioned before that you are going to see them. Have you seen them before?
Five or six times.
Yeah. Wow, can't get enough.
Nope.
Oh my goodness, that's awesome, man. I appreciate dedication like that. Well, thank you for coming on the program, Daniel Kingston. Do you have any, I don't know why I called you by both your names there, but do you have any final thoughts, words or opinions for our listeners?
No, just enjoy the good weather while it's here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Cool. Yep. And prepare for El Nino.
Yeah, that's right.
Strap in.
Yeah.
Awesome. That was Associate Professor Daniel Kingston from Otago Whakaihuwaka, the University of Otago. We're talking about El Nino, how it affects Aotearoa, and what it might look like this year. Here's I.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.